people, Israel. So here in chapter 4, God is reminding Israel what he wants from them. But he also reminds them, as you will see, that he is a jealous God. And we'll understand what that means. So beginning in verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, which hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. And the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided into all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and sware that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in into that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." So that's our title, A Jealous God. Lord, give us wisdom, open your word, teach us tonight from it, work miracles in our hearts through it. We're so blessed to be here and open it together. May we honor you by responding to it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God finishes this by saying he's a jealous God. Remember, this is Moses speaking to the people. Deuteronomy means second law. And he's teaching them that God chose them to be his special people. And we find in this passage at least 5 things that God is jealous over. It's okay for God to be jealous because God is righteous and perfect. You know, we often use the word jealous and think of it in a negative connotation. And it is for humans, but not for Almighty God, who's holy and righteous. And the first thing we see that he's jealous over here in verse 2 is he's jealous over his word. He tells us there in verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. God gave us his word. God gave it exactly as he wanted us to have it, the exact amount he wanted us to have, and he did it through his prophets. And he tells us here and in other places, we'll go to Revelation 22 quickly, verse 18, that we're not to ever add to or take away from God's word, because God is jealous over his word. And what I mean by that is he will not accept anyone changing it. Amen? Taking away or adding. Revelation 22, 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. God is jealous over his word. He always reminds us it is his word. It is perfect. It is powerful. And we're never to take away from or add to. He tells us in John 12:48, if you want to turn there quickly, that when we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat, it is the word of God that will judge us. And therefore, Jesus is telling us we have a responsibility to know it and to obey it and follow it. Notice John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. What's fascinating about all this is by the time Jesus came to the earth, over 1,000 years after Moses spoke these words, do you know what the Pharisees and scribes had done? They had added to the word of God. Hundreds of jots and tittles, hundreds of rules and regulations, they had added to the word of God, the very thing he told them not to do. So the first thing that we see that God is very jealous over, he is jealous over his word. He tells us in Psalm 138, verse 2, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God holds his word very in high esteem, and we are to do the same and never, ever change it. The second thing we see that God is jealous over is his people. Notice it says, verse 3, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. He said, you've seen with your own eyes. Remember the recent plague that they went through because of joining together with the Moabites. He said, you've seen with your own eyes what I did and how the plague was stayed, remember, by Phinehas. But he said he is very jealous over his people. He wants his people to be separate from Baal Peor, Baal being another name for the devil. And we know, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:9, that we're to be a peculiar people. Amen? And so God is also jealous over his New Testament people, that we are to be that peculiar people, that we're to not be conformed to this world, that we're not to be a friend of the world, and so forth, but we're to be separate. And God had to punish Israel for breaking that commandment many times of joining with the world instead of being separate from the world. The third thing we see that God is jealous over is his testimony. If you look in verse 6, he says, keep therefore and do them, talking about the word, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Is that what the world says about Israel? Sadly, no. Because they didn't follow his word. It says, for what nation is there? He's saying, hypothetically, this is what the nations around Israel will be saying if you will do the right thing. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord thy God in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? God wanted his people to be a testimony. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And God wanted Israel to be that nation. A nation that said to the nations around it, look what happens when a nation follows the word of God. How God blesses them, how God protects them. Now, that's not what happened. But Moses is saying, if you will obey God's word, this is what will happen. The surrounding nations will say, look at that nation that God blesses. Why? Because they are following his righteous word. And so God's testimony was important. Now, Israel marred his testimony through their wicked behavior, and therefore, as we know, constantly had to be punished. Read the book of Judges. Punishment after punishment after punishment. For what? Marring God's testimony. When we get to the New Testament, if you go to 1 Corinthians 9:12, God also wants us to be a testimony to this world that God has changed us, that we're different. Amen? That we're his people now. 1 Corinthians 9:12, if others be partaker of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, Paul speaking, he says, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He's saying we have to be careful that we don't hinder the gospel through our behavior. Because the testimony is important. Jesus said, let your light so shine. Amen? Before men, what, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So God is not only jealous over his word, which he doesn't want touched, over his people, which he wants to be separate, but he's jealous over his testimony. And many times he said of Israel, I want you to be a beacon, if you will, to the nations around you, of a nation whose God is the Lord. That's not what happened, but that's what God wanted. Now instead they disobeyed and had to be punished constantly because they were actually a testimony of the opposite. What happens when a nation disobeys the word of God? Then God has to step in and punish them. It's still a testimony. It's just not the one he wanted. It's still a testimony that God is watching out for that nation, just like when we become his child. When we disobey, God chastises us. That's still a testimony. It's just not the one that God wants, right? Because he doesn't chastise the lost, but he does chastise his children. So that's the third thing we see that God is a jealous God over, is his own testimony among the world through his people. But then we see, number four, he's jealous over worship. Notice verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude in the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Remember when God actually spoke to the people from the top of Mount Horeb when he was giving the law to Moses. God made sure that the people never saw God. That all they ever saw was just the mountain was burning. Why? Because God knows us. And he said, if I would have given you any similitude at all, I know you. You would have then made an idol that looked like what you saw, and you would have worshipped the idol instead of me. And that's what he says over and over. Lest you corrupt yourselves, verse 16, and make a graven image of what? A human being, male or female, a beast, a fowl, a creeping thing, a fish, the moon, the stars, and the host of heaven. In other words, all the things that we see around us, lest you make an idol of those things, which, by the way, Israel did. And he said, that's why I never let you see even a similitude of anything when I spoke to you. Because God is very jealous over his worship, isn't he? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt worship no other God. But the next one, look at it, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. Is God not only says you're not to worship any other God, But then he says, never make any graven image. So he tells us, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods. That's the first commandment. But then the second commandment, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. God says, no images. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. So he's very jealous over worship. You know, we get to the New Testament, and Jesus met that Samaritan woman there in John chapter 4 at the well. And she said, well, the Jews say we should worship at Jerusalem, but we, the Samaritans, say you should be worshiping here. What did Jesus say? God is a spirit. God is a spirit. The place isn't what counts. It's who you're worshiping that counts. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus made it very clear. It's not about the where. It's about the who. And we get to the New Testament as well. Look at 1 John 5:20, which is a beautiful verse about the revelation of Jesus to man. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 20. He says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Amen. But look at the last verse of 1 John. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Isn't that interesting? The last verse of this epistle, which we love so much. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that we put before God can become an idol. And so God is very jealous over worship. That our worship must be in accordance with Scripture. And it can never include the worship of anything but God. The last thing we see that God is jealous over is salvation. His way of salvation. You say, well, where was that? Well, Moses, verse 21... he says, well, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swear that I should not go over Jordan and that I should not go into unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. So what was the thing that caused Moses to not be able to go into the promised land? Well, we looked at that, remember? It was he struck the rock twice when he was told to only speak to it. Remember the first time he struck the rock, water came out. We get to the New Testament, the rock represents Jesus. The water represents Jesus. The water of life coming from the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ only had to be smitten how many times? One. For by one offering. Amen? Hebrews chapter 10. So the second time that they had no water and God was going to miraculously give them water, he clearly said to Moses, speak unto the rock. Well, the people were acting like their usual selves and they made Moses angry. And he said, shall I fetch water? Well, Moses didn't fetch the water. God fetched the water. And then instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it twice. And what did God say? Now you can't go into the promised land. Why? A lot of reasons, but mainly because he broke the picture of salvation, didn't he? He smote the rock again. And the rock only has to be smitten once. Once smitten, amen, for the sins of mankind. Hebrews 10:10, if you want to turn there, makes it very clear that Jesus does not have to be crucified over and over again. Which, by the way, is what some people believe is happening when they partake of what we call the Lord's Supper. They believe it's becoming the literal body and the literal blood of Jesus. But it says, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So God is very jealous over his way of salvation. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. God is never ambiguous about the only way to salvation is his way. Amen. And Moses broke that illustration. And for that act, he could not go into the promised land. And he's recounting that. He's saying, I don't get to go in with you guys. I have to stay back and die. So he's not too happy about it, but he can't change it because he broke the picture of salvation. And so he finishes there, verse 24 of our passage, Deuteronomy 4. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. That's repeated, by the way, in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Even a jealous God. Reminding them that hell is real. And if we don't go to God's way through Jesus Christ, through the rock, through the serpent on a pole, God's been making it clear, we're going to face the fire. Our God is a consuming fire. So he's saying, our God is a jealous God, and rightly so. Jealous over his perfect word, which he wrote for us. Jealous over his people, which he wants to be different and separate from the world. Jealous over his testimony that we display to those around us. That he wants us to be a testimony of the blessings that come upon those who put God first. Jealous over worship. He wants only worship to be only him and only his way in spirit and in truth. Amen. John 4:24. And he's very jealous over the way of salvation. There are not alternate ways to heaven. There's only one. Amen? And that's Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the great I am. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection. It's only through Jesus Christ. So God is still a jealous God. Over 3,000 years later, aren't you thankful that you chose the God of the Bible? Because look at the punishment that he kept having to inflict upon his people Israel for their disobedience. You and I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and all of our sins are forgiven. Praise God. But we serve a jealous God. So never mess with his word. Amen. Always be that testimony and strive to be separate from the world. Only worship God in spirit and in truth. And let's tell the world, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. God is a jealous God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you for this great lesson from Moses' lecture to your people. And may we remember, Lord, that you are still a jealous God over these things, that hasn't changed a bit, and that you want us as your children to be a testimony, to be separate, to only worship your way, Lord, to honor your perfect word as perfect. Lord, to tell others that Jesus is the way. So help us, Lord, to be that child of yours that you want us to be. Thank you for speaking to us through your precious word. We love you in Jesus.